had other consciousnesses still in my system from the night before.
Mm-hmm. You should only take like 2 hits and then just wait it out.
Yeah. Well, also the other thing that happens is like when, you know, when you smoke on top of a psychedelic, like it just like turns it up.
Elevates it.
Yeah. But like, so you don't get like the same stone high. You like, you get LSD high and it's like, it's different. So that's why I'm just trying to watch my intake. Cause like all of a sudden I just might be like, like I might be in the middle of a sentence. Be like, if you guys see me short circuit, that's might have been what happened. Where I took one extra hit than I was supposed to.
Push through though. Cause that'd be an amazing episode.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, usually what happens to me, I'll just end up being like super quiet.
Yeah.
It's just not
thinking about your life.
I'm actually not even doing much thinking. I'm just like sitting there
blank.
Yeah. Yeah. Like thinking like, God, conversations feel like a train is rushing by and you're like, as soon as you catch up to the subject, like they're already like 5 minutes past that conversation. Right? Oh man. Should we start the show?
Yes, we can start the show.
Okay. Well, don't flush the toilet. You are now tuned in to the Crappy Awesome Podcast. And welcome to another Desert Lost episode of the Crappy Awesome Podcast. God, that was terrible.
Desert Lost.
Desert Lost.
Lost Desert.
How about Desert Bound?
Desert Bound.
We're already in a desert, though.
But we're not. Like, we don't have to stay.
Yeah.
We're not bound.
I don't know. Whatever. Welcome to another episode of Crappy Awesome Podcast. We're your hosts, the Diego Brown Project. I am Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. And with me is Kiel C-Ray, even though we're just going to call him Chris.
Hey, yeah.
We're, of course, brought to you by Platform Collection. Make sure you go over to Platform Collection and check out all the amazing content that's on there. There's all kinds of music videos and essays and music reviews and shows. And I short-circuited for photos just a second. Yeah, and photos as well. Because, yeah. Like, now there's also, like, 2X Hologram Radio. That's such a massive part of the Platform Collection movement. So I may need to retool some of this opening.
Yeah, maybe.
To make sense to that. Mm-hmm. But while you're there, for the time being, I'm just going to try to get you guys to still go and check out our sibling podcasts. As soon as I find that. There's, of course, Culture Sessions, hosted by Melathion Archive, produced by Spock Beats.
Spock Beats.
The 2MX Hologram podcast is still going strong.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. It'll be making its return this next week.
In addition to, of course, 2MX Hologram Radio.
Right.
That is now officially launched, so you can talk about that, right?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Tune in. You can actually listen to it on the TuneIn app.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Streaming 24/7 live on the TuneIn app. And one of the things we definitely want people to know is that at any moment, 2MX could pop up on the radio live. Wow. We have it set up for him. So,
today is
Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's probably knee-deep in mushrooms right now.
Yeah.
So like that could happen right now.
He just wants to start talking.
Yeah, he could just start doing that.
But don't stop listening to this show.
No.
At some point, check that out.
Yeah.
Proof of Life Radio, hosted by Kiel C-Ray and Kali.
No, we've made a change to that as well.
Kali
fired me.
Oh.
Just because of resources, he's going to be taking over Proof of Life, and I'm doing the Friday Up, which is a live show on 2MX Hologram Radio.
Oh, wow. The Friday Up.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Friday Up.
I'm basically playing all underground and indie music that I feel you could play at the clubs.
Oh.
I'm proving that you could just replace everything there.
I like that.
With this.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, you could get your fix of underground and indie hip hop.
That is my favorite kind of music.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. Like, I like it's got that kind of energy. Like, I like that mainstream energy. But if I've already heard the song 3 million times, I want to hear some new shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think this past Friday, I played some Severe, some Gavlin, Reverie.
I was at a party a little while ago, and this girl was saying, like, man, like, and I was like telling her about, like, oh, here's a song on SoundCloud. She checks that. It's like, man, it'd be really cool if, like, somebody just, like, found songs that, like, you would like and then, like, play them for you alongside songs that you. And I'm like, you mean, like, a DJ? Like, what a DJ is supposed to do? Yeah. And then, like, oh, God, radio.
People
DJs.
Have completely forgotten that.
Yeah. Thank you, FM radio. Life on the Road with 60 East.
60 East, yeah.
Really, though? With Cookbook.
Yeah.
Of LA Symphony.
Having a great year.
Of course, yeah. Orchestrated, hosted by Noah James and Lisa J.
Yeah.
Status Escalate with Kali.
Yep.
So now he's hosting two shows.
Wow.
Yeah, he does like to work.
Yes, he does.
The Ghetto Blaster podcast, hosted by Ricochet.
Yeah. That might be it.
Okay, all right.
We'll let him explain it to his audience.
And of course, we already told you about 2Mix Hologram Radio.
Yeah.
Outside of that, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Platform Collection. That is one word, all spelled out. And on Twitter at Platform Collect with no shun.
Mm-hmm.
And a shout out, of course, to Tor Project, the open source privacy platform that is being developed by the, engineers, developers, nerds. Web programs, nerds, yeah, from all over the world to give you a more private web browsing experience. Learn more at torproject.org. And a shout out to Burner Podcast, covering the Burning Man community.
You shouted yourself out, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm shouting out the movement. The main show is hosted by me, but then there's also Alkaline, produced by Navjeet, and Into the Fire.
At burnerpodcast.com.
That's at burnerpodcast.com. Tell them about Stitcher, iTunes, and all that stuff.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker, go over to platformcollection.com, and you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode 65. If you need to listen to any of the episodes before that, iTunes does it, TuneIn, Stitcher, they all do it now. So you can just go all the way back to episode zero. Guys, thank you so much for the support. As you know, this is going to be a huge year. 2Mix Hologram Radio is
biggest
on
year
right now.
Yeah.
There's no reason you should listen to any other radio station, Bob.
It's going
to
be the best year.
You could just get the TuneIn app, plug it into your phone. Yeah. I heard there's a bunch of new cars coming with it already preloaded.
Are we biased to TuneIn now?
We got to be. They saw the vision. Yeah. They ran with it.
That's dope.
So shout out to them. Shout out to you guys. Make sure you tune in. I'm excited about this show today. Nerve is here today, one of my favorite photographers, and you guys know on Platform Collection we've been covering photography more and more. In fact, right now, if you go to the site right now and click photos, there's a new photo section. We're inviting photographers on to do photo essays of whatever they want. Look for Encrypt is coming up on there. Even Reverie. Reverie's starting to take photos. Yeah. She's going to do a photo adventure.
Yeah.
With another photographer that we'll talk about on a future show.
What is a photo adventure?
I don't know. It's going to be up to her.
Okay.
You know?
Are they going to go from tree to tree?
They could be. Okay. It could be like Indiana Jones or all some right shit.
I can do
it. You know? But that's what we're doing. But Nerve is on the show, man. Welcome to the show, brother.
What's up, you guys?
Yeah, we're at your house, and what area is this?
Pinyon Hills.
So it's kind of in the IE. You said it was like IE desert.
IE desert, super rural. Nobody's out here.
Bring it up a little bit there, yeah.
Super rural.
Okay. So the obvious question is, what are you doing out here? How did you get here?
Fuck. Kind of fucked up through junior high school. We moved out here from Corona. Prior to that, I've been all over the place. LA, IE, OC. Fucking never really had like a real home.
Yeah.
Kind of just ended up out here. Don't really do shit out here.
What do you do? What was the exact time like you moved out here? You said you're like going to be 23 soon.
Yeah.
Around what age did you move out here?
I want to say 2008. Yeah, 2008. I moved out here. Moved out to Palmdale later on after that. Kind of just every 2-3 years I'm out somewhere different.
Yeah. Why though? Like, what has been the... Was it just, like, a family move, or...?
Family moves, personal moves. I feel like throughout every move or, like, new location, I kind of found, I don't know, like, a piece of me there.
Yeah.
It's more just to, like, build myself, I feel.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You said you fucked up through junior high. Were you a problem child?
Yeah, dude.
Causing issues?
A lot of weed, a lot of drugs, alcohol,
A lot of weed. What did that make you do? Just hang out and like eat pizza rolls?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weed's cool. So yeah. Smoke weed today. But as like an 11, 12 year old kid, I don't think that's something you should be doing on the daily.
Yeah.
Parents thought it'd be better just to move me out here and shit.
Yeah.
Start, no friends. And it's super rural out here, to where it's like really racist and shit. Yeah. You know, I got in a fight like every other day in high school. So it was like.
So you went to high school out here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Got kicked out of like 3-4 different high schools. Finished high school at 16 in independent study. Started college at 16.
Yeah.
Dropped out by 17.
Wow.
What sorts of things were you getting into fights about?
Just bullshit. You know, the nip shit, the chink shit, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fucking cool, but when it comes to shit like that, I have zero tolerance. You know what I mean?
What was like the ratio of like different races at your high school? Would you say like? How many other Asian people were there?
None.
You were the only one.
Yeah.
And oh my god.
Even then, just looking at me, I'm not Asian. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, even if there was like the couple Korean kids, like I didn't
care. Oh, you're Korean.
I'm Filipino, Chinese, Japanese, Hawaiian, Mexican, Spanish.
Oh, okay. So you got a ton of mix in you. Yeah. But they, of course, they just classified you as
Chinese, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Wow. How quick did that happen when you got into high school? Like, was it right from the start? People were already?
Yeah, pretty much from the jump. Like, I stuck out, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't look normal, I guess.
Yeah.
It was fucking like an easy target.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Your parents wanted you to get into less trouble, so they took you somewhere where you're going to get more into fights over racial shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they just thought, like...
the city was too much.
A different setting and yeah, you know, just being able to keep an eye on me, really, because there ain't shit to do out here.
But, yeah.
You know, got into more shit, but, yeah.
But, so when did photography come into your life?
Just recently, about 22 months ago.
Oh, wow.
That's it?
Yeah, dude.
Are you shitting me, man?
Yeah, I swear.
Holy shit.
That's 22
months ago.
Good Lord. So the two photographers, like the recent two photographers, Crip's only been shooting for a little while, too.
Yeah, she's killing it, dude.
Holy shit.
I fuck with them Crip super heavy. Yeah, she's killing it. Good shit to her.
So were you, what were you doing until you kind of discover photography? Like, because this is obviously your path now.
Yeah. Fuck, dude.
But a lot of the reason, like, young people get into a lot of shit is because they haven't figured out what the path is, right?
Yeah. I think it was one of those things where, fuck, I was in a bad position. I had a, you know, I'm a felon or whatever, and I couldn't find a job. Everybody was declining my apps, you know. And I'm not a bad dude. It's just, it's really hard to do well.
Yeah.
You know?
Once the felony's on the record.
Yeah. And you start thinking of other ways to make money. And obviously, drug dealing and shit like that, like all the bad ways I used to make money wasn't a priority. And I wanted to make an honest living, you know?
Yeah.
And
who put a camera in your hand?
My buddy, Jordan Jamal.
Okay.
A lot of people that follow me know him. Really good dude. But yeah, he sold me my first camera. It was more of like a hobby thing.
What kind of camera was it?
A Nikon D3100. It was about, that camera came out like 9 years ago. Ran with that for like the first year of shooting, and that honestly got me all my gigs. But I think,
really?
I think God photography saved my life.
So, wait, so did you, right when you picked up the camera, right? Did you feel like it was, like that was your calling?
Honestly, yeah, like right away, it gave me a sense of like fulfillment, and like, I don't know, it filled a void, whatever voids I was holding in my personal life, or like, you know, just shit like that. Like, it made me happy.
Yeah.
It truly did. And I don't know, honestly, like the fact that I can make money and make a living off this is a blessing, but I would do it for free. No matter what.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I die, like,
it's just who you are now.
And yeah, it's almost like a, dude, it's always this close to me.
Yeah,
man.
My
camera's always that close to me.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
What was the thing about photography that immediately spoke to you? Like, did you hit the shutter the first time and go, holy shit, I love this? Was there a moment that you remember?
Yeah, was there a learning curve where you were like, oh, I'm not good?
I think it was just, fuck, not even so much shooting the photos, but just going to the places I've been to and just seeing them at specific times, or like, you know, sunsets in different places, and, you know, it's nice with the blunt, or like, you know, just shit like that. It's, aside from just shooting the photos, it's the places I've been to alongside the great people I've met through this journey.
Yeah.
I think
it is the journey more than anything.
It's always the journey, dude, because I feel like not even just myself, but every artist yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It's always about the journey. The journey's like kind of just what makes you the happiest, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So, okay. So, because we have a lot of photographers that listen to the show. So you picked up Nikon D3100. You started shooting with that. What were some of the early lessons you learned about photography in general, like the craft?
Just to really stay consistent. Just learn as much as you possibly could. Dude, I wake up every day, still to this day, I told myself a long time ago I'd watch at least 30 minutes of YouTube tutorials on something I already don't know. Knowledge is power, dude. So I feel like just learning the camera to its fullest potential, like, you just got to do that.
It's such a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting, man. I'll talk to a lot of, like, younger photographers and how little thought they put into that. You know what I mean? Because along the way, I've heard both sides along the way. You know what I mean? I've heard people go, you don't need to know anything about that, or, you know, just shoot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's at this point, even the camera technology, it's like undeniable. If you know everything about your camera, you're taking better pictures. Mm-hmm. It's just across the line.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so you're shooting with are you shooting mostly by yourself when you start off? Are you like kind of going out with people, or?
I mean, I shot every fucking second I could by myself. If somebody wanted to come along, or if I could link up with somebody, that was cool too. But at the end of the day, like, if you can't do shit on your own, you know,
that's just you're gonna be stuck for a minute. What was your first, like, where you said, like, oh shit, like, I got a job, like, this is my first job?
The first job I ever got, I think I did for like, well, it was for free. The first started like getting paid. It was like $20 and a pack of cigarettes. You know, stupid shit like that.
What kind of cigarettes?
Marlboro Reds. Hundreds.
Well, that's pretty good.
But
that's what the big
one. And what was it for?
It was just I forget. I think it was a Christmas card.
Yeah.
But actually, you know what? It was a Christmas card.
Wow.
What was the subject?
It was a dog and one of my friends. The dog ended up actually being the Christmas card, and the picture of her and her dog ended up on her Instagram, but...
Yeah. That's dope.
So I really just shot the dog.
Okay, so, because there's, like, when I look at your photos, there's definitely, like, you have your signature to them. There's always, to me, like, some of my favorite photographers just kind of do. They could both take the same picture, but you can see the signature in it. You know what I mean? If you had to describe, like, your style, what would that be? Or can you yet?
I just know I tend to edit a little bit darker. I do shoot weddings and stuff like that, like really clean.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel like, fuck, at least the stuff I post, I post for myself. And I think through my photos, people see I'm like a darker kind of guy.
Yeah.
But it still brings light to the photo. Like,
absolutely.
It's still beautiful in its own fucked up way, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I feel like I'm just misperceived a lot. I'm a good dude, but people think, you know, a certain type of way about me.
Yeah.
And that really shows through my art, and people don't get it, and I am super grateful I have this opportunity to let people know.
Yeah. So tell if you're your critic, right? Like, there's somebody looking at you, you're some dude in your room right now looking at Nerve's Instagram. What are some of the critics, like, criticisms are? Like, from the what you know?
Positive or negative?
Whatever. It could be both.
I know. Because
you said they don't understand a whole lot.
Yeah, I just feel like through social media, there's a lot of misperceptions, you know, just you get through fucking photos or captions and shit.
Yeah.
And
what kind of misperceptions are people having?
People think that I'll go out in public and I'll meet, let's say, Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
Joe Schmo's like, yo, I love you, dude, but this guy said you're a dick.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, dude, I've never met dude, so how can he? Oh, yeah, based off an app, like, the way you talk. But honestly, I feel like I'm not scared to speak my mind or voice my opinion.
Yeah.
Whether people like it or not, that's just, I kind of just say what I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't necessarily have to believe it yourself.
Right. But that's where you stand.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people in this world aren't open to just accepting what someone has to say and just leaving it as that.
They
have a fucking third, fourth, fifth opinion on it, you know?
Yeah. So,
what is your most unpopular opinion, do you think?
That you're a dick? Is that it? He's definitely not a dick, by the way.
Definitely not a dick, by the way. And it's funny because I do get that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Quiet demeanor, maybe.
Quiet demeanor.
Darker pictures.
Yeah,
I see when you put up, Well, here's the thing. Like I told, I told Arash this.
I still didn't get his most unpopular opinion. That's what I asked.
I think that he's a dick.
Yeah,
that's unpopular. People think that seems to be popular opinion.
The most unpopular.
Yeah. What is the most unpopular opinion you think that you've had that people have like harped on?
Unpopular.
Is it about photography, life in general? Like you're saying, a lot of people will pick up on your opinions.
Well, unpopular meaning as in like, I have an example?
Yeah, like somebody doesn't like I don't know. My opinion is VHS is better than Laserdisc. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You confused me even more.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more confused.
Wait, so something that people opinion? Says the least amount about him?
Like people don't like it. Like what is an opinion that
Well, they were saying they don't like the fact that
like I'll give you an opinion. My opinion is that Tupac is overrated.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's not popular.
Oh, like if he has an opinion and people don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
That makes it unpopular.
I got you. Does that ever happen? Maybe more in the videos, right? People would say video because they could hear you talk actually.
Yeah.
Because you're not putting a whole lot of like political shit on your pictures or anything. You know what I mean?
I don't really have too much of that, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't really it's very like
it's black and white, right? Either they like you or they don't. Because I was telling Arash on the way home, here.
It's a home.
Yeah, it's a home. I feel like I watch like the Instagram videos and I'm like, dude's working all the time and life doesn't seem like it sucks.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You're out there doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You're around beautiful environments, beautiful people. And I feel like that online, I mean, it's almost cliche at this point, that attracts a certain amount of trolls that are like, fuck that guy. Why does he deserve that? You know?
It's more so, I feel like a lot of today's shit's just, just jealousy turned outwards. You fucking get mad at somebody having, you know, whatever they may have or may not have. And
yeah.
You can start hating on your own self. And it's like, it's just self-destruction on their part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 Cause you don't hear that part of the conversation.
Not yet.
They're literally in their room most of the time just going, I hate this thing.
Yeah. And sometimes they do voice it and I feel bad for those people. Cause it's like, everybody has an opportunity to do great fucking things. Like I've lived a lot of my life doing terrible shit. And now that I have the opportunity to inspire others and really like blossom into the beautiful person I'm trying to fucking be.
Yeah.
They have just the same opportunity.
Right. If not more.
If not more. They're just not accessing it correctly or going about it the right way to just make it happen. You know?
Yeah. It's weird. A lot of times people feel they can't be a fan and a critic at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They feel like if I'm criticizing something, I got to get my anger out on it, you know, as opposed to just simply like, oh yeah, that's, I like that, but I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a perfectly acceptable thing to say.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually like, I don't have to go onto Arash's Instagram and go like, yeah, I like that, but I wouldn't do that. And this is why I wouldn't do it because of this. And well, he didn't ask. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Instagram for photos obviously has been a huge plus and negative in a lot of ways, right? There's a lot of, like I've said, I had this conversation with Encrypt about in big cities like LA or New York, they'll tend to be a feel for like a group of like there'll be a group of photographers who where almost all of it looks the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you could tell the same Lightroom settings or, you know, maybe if one is dark, they're all dark. Or if they're one is, you know, and I think that happens when there's that many people in the city shooting because New York and LA, I mean, it's the fucking, they're the meccas.
Yeah, that's the mecca.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. Do you ever find yourself like looking at like your peers and going, and like having a vocal opinion on what everybody's doing? Or do you not care about what everybody else is shooting?
Shit. I do what I do. I feel like as an artist, you can, you find inspiration through other people's art, but at the end of the day, if you can't come up with your own inspiration, what the fuck are you? You're lacking.
Yeah.
And I do go through tough times where it's like, it's hard for me to really shoot 100% because I'm not feeling it or whatever. But that's everyday things, you know, you need to be able to adapt to the situation and overcome the situation. But yeah, as far as like the way I shoot my style, whatever, I just do it to my liking. If other people's pick up on it and they like it too, hell yeah. If they don't, fuck them, really.
Yeah.
And not fuck them in a negative sense, but yeah. I just really don't care about their opinion.
Yeah. Do you, like, as far as like the business side mm-hmm. of photography, right? Because it's that part is always like a tricky part for a lot of people, maneuvering business. A lot of the times what I found, especially with photographers, is a lot of people who pick up a camera are picking up a camera because they don't like to talk to other people, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they like to be behind the lens and
the weirdo in the back.
Right. Which doesn't necessarily always translate that well to the business world because yeah. they need to be presentable people. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know this. As artists, there's people who get hired simply off of personality.
Yeah.
The craft may not even be up to par, mm-hmm. but If it's good enough,
you know, yeah. you're going to have to work with somebody for the next however many months exactly. on something. You're like, God, I want to be able to communicate with this yeah, person yeah. at the very least.
So when you first started out, like, what were some of the business lessons you learned?
Shit. I just, in all honesty, dude, I just treated photography kind of like, as bad as it sounds, kind of like drug dealing. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just pushed myself upon as many people as I possibly could. And so they liked the product,
yeah.
you know. They started coming back for it. Like,
yeah,
it's really just networking. And as an artist, you do have to operate in a business matter too. Cause like, you gotta be professional.
Yeah.
If you're not professional, nobody's going to talk to you. If you can't write a proper email back, if you don't know the format of even how to type a fucking email,
yeah.
you know, and just being personable, really, it's easier to get into a friend's pocket rather than a stranger's.
Yeah.
Just cause they trust you. You build that trust with a client and they'll come back.
Right. And their decisions are based on an investment they're making personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a fucking mechanic. Yeah. Like I've talked about my mechanic. I searched for like years for someone you can just trust.
Yeah.
And I can call him up. He doesn't sound irritated. And that was enough for me to make a decision. Like, I'm just going to stay with this.
Once the relationship's there, it doesn't break.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, in that earlier time though, so like what sorts of ways were you putting yourself out in front of people? Just basically showing up and shooting?
Fuck, dude. In the very beginning, like the first 3 to 6 months, like, dude, I was on Craigslist ads, hitting up anybody, everybody in restaurants. Yo, can I do your menu?
And you were just going in and doing it for free?
I mean, if I could charge, I would.
Sure.
Just to build the portfolio is probably like the first 2 to 3 months I was really portfolio building.
Yeah,
I quit my job after 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I dude, it's either sink or swim. You want to eat, you work for it.
Yeah.
No, this is important information.
Yeah. I hated retail. I was working at Zoomies. Fuck Zoomies in West Coast. Fuck Zoomies in Montebello.
They're not a sponsor.
The opinions expressed on Burner Road. They're crappy awesome.
But yeah, I knew I didn't want to do that forever. I knew I hated waking up every fucking morning to go open a store and deal with people I didn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
I love my job and my peers. It was cool, but I just knew I didn't want to do it forever. And I knew that the camera was a possibility. And my parents even called me crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're proud.
How did they? Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. But that initial jump, that's one of those jumps that makes parents very uneasy, right? When you're like, super I'm going to go take pictures and that's like, how I'm going to make my living.
Hey, mom, I want to be a rapper.
Trust me. That's why I'm asking.
All my homies had to go through the same shit. It's one of those things where I was like, fuck, you know, nobody really believes in me, but I believe in myself.
Yeah. Is there a watch going off up there?
Yeah.
It's been going off for a minute. There's like 20 watches here, by the way.
Yeah. Really cool watches.
I'm a watch dude.
Never likes watches.
Boom, he found it. So did it cause any rift in the family at that time? Were you like...
They were more just like...
Here we go again?
Yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, they knew I was good, but it's like any parent just wants the best for you. And I think that hearing that route is just almost like...
A nightmare.
Whoa, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I don't know if he's gonna... He's good, but he really... You know, and it just took time. And now it's like... They're my biggest fans. I love my parents. They're super supportive and, you know, just want the best for me.
Yeah, it seems like they've invested a large amount of time in trying to get you to some a place where you're happy,
Yeah. So you got on Craigslist though. You did that for like 6 months. You went out there and just built. You like got all kinds of photography. You got portfolio going.
Mm-hmm. I just hustled, dude. Which way you guys can do it. Hey, you know how rappers stand on fucking Venice Boardwalk and pass out CDs?
Yeah.
Put in that same footwork. You know.
Let me tell you something, because like that's a lot of what we try to dissect on this show is that like for you it's like very intuitive.
Yeah.
Like when you're saying you just gotta hustle. Like most people have no fucking idea what that means. Like where do I even start? Your description of like just getting on Craigslist and like getting out there and hitting up businesses and be like,
terrified, let me just shoot people.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's like you treat the, you want to be a business, you run it like a fucking business. If you want to be a mediocre Instagram photographer, then you be that mediocre Instagram photographer with 200,000 followers but no fucking money.
I mean, we're definitely going to talk about that because I've wondered about, I just talked to, who was, oh, actually, on the last Proof of Life radio, right? I was just randomly talking about Instagram, and maybe you can give some insight to it, right? Because you have a legitimate following. I read your comments. There's people that legitimately follow you.
Yeah.
Everything's legit. But you know, okay, this is my question. You might not even know, but I cannot get over when I go to like somebody who has like 200,000 followers, right? And they barely have any likes on their pictures. But what confuses me even more is the reverse. When they have like 500 followers, and I'm talking like they have 2,000 or 3,000 posts with over like 200, 300, 400 likes, 1,000 likes. There's how do you, you can't be paying for that, right? Like how much money would that cost?
Yeah.
Dude, you'd be broke.
Beats fucking me, bro. Like honestly, I don't know. That's why I really don't go on social media. Like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm really not really.
You're just there to monitor your shit and.
Yeah, kind of just. It's like a fucking duty now. Emails, checking DMs and shit like that. Like, that's all duty. It's a business. And yeah, people reply back to those fast because, you know.
Yeah.
It's all business. Like.
So give some insight on how you feel. Because you actually are one of those people, and it's a rare thing, just like in Crypt, like to watch it in real time. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting more followers. Like, certain things are working here. Can you cue in on what that is for you, at least for you?
Shit, for myself, dude, I think I just now I'm not building as fast as I used to because there was a couple months where I jumped like 5-6K.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
what happened those months,
do
you think?
Really just it was all networking. It's like I worked with various artists. I think it was 1 month where I shot for Corona, and then it was like Fora.
Yeah.
And then each one of those gave you a jump.
Yeah, it does its part, but I feel like I was really focused on building numbers then, so it was all a numbers game. Now I'm more concerned with fuck these numbers, just give me my clients. Like I wanna grow with, you know, companies and make more money. So that's what I'm doing. Like, just because my following isn't growing doesn't mean that I'm not monetizing. Like, I feel like it's super ass backwards when it comes to social media. Like, just because you're doing big numbers, that big money's coming
I've
with
heard
it.
That so right. much.
Like, no, dude, because I've shot with models with 250,000 followers, and they're asking me for an Uber because they, you know, I'm not putting anybody down, saying like not having a car is cool or whatever.
No, but it's real.
And they're out there flexing with their Coach bags and their Burberry and Louis Vuitton and bullshit. But like. You know?
Yeah.
It's just fake it till you make it.
No, because that thing you're describing is, I would think, a major reason why a lot of people don't even start. Because they look at like numbers like that and they think that reality is connected to that.
How can I ever do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're right. We've heard this from multiple people that at the end of the day, that doesn't translate to money in the bank.
No, not at all. Because a lot of the most successful people I know don't have anything more than 2,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
because the social media, the ability to do social media well is a whole different skill set than
really
the ability
is.
To make money
off
your shit. Like it's kind of like I remember like I've looked at like financially successful people that I've known.
Yeah.
Like I had like one of my bosses, I'm not going to say which company, but is the owner. Yes.
Zoomies on the way.
It was the owner of a chain eatery and I worked for their marketing department for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away that this guy could even tie his own shoes. Like, I don't know how he got through life.
Yeah.
He was so emotionally inept. He was just kind of a train wreck. And somebody was like, yeah, well, maybe he's just really good at making money.
Yeah.
Being really good at making money.
He does that job really well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Being really good at making money is not the same thing as being an intelligent person or being this or being that. It's just a different skill set is all it is.
Yeah.
Being good at online dating is not the same thing as being good at dating.
Yeah. The goal is trying to find a balance between all those things.
Right.
Like the most well-rounded people understand like, yo, I might need to go shoot Fora. And I have to shoot a wedding right after, and I have to be able to speak both languages,
right. You
know, and some people just kind of try to steamroll their way through all of it. And they're the ones that are like always rubbing people wrong. And, you know, dude, so your first, cause this is a lot of the things that I wanted to talk to you about because you know, you're relatively young. You've only been shooting for so long. But you have, I mean, it's obvious just talking to you now, dude, like, most of it was life experience prior to shooting. Mm-hmm. You learned the hustle. Mm. You learned, one, to have, I mean, in this game, obviously, you learned to have a tough skin.
Yeah.
Having nothing to do with photography, just
this is something
being yourself.
We've seen a lot of times with artists we talk with is that people are inadvertently training for the thing that they're
doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
you were
pledging for this fraternity and you didn't even know what the frat was. Like you had no idea, but all those experiences you went through were exactly the training you needed to do this.
100%. I honestly believe, like I said, dude, I was a fucking felon, couldn't get a job. This was the biggest blessing and I'm super grateful to have because if it wasn't for this, or if it wasn't for that happening, that like all that bullshit with court and going fucking jail, doing all this bullshit, you know, doing the waiting game and fucking, it just taught me patience. It taught me to, I couldn't leave the state for the first year of me shooting and I had to pass up a lot of job opportunities, dude,
because
I was bound to Cali. And a lot of people don't know this, but yeah, dude, the first year I could have been, you know, really blossoming into my fullest potential and I had to take, eat a lot of L's this past first year, and I'm scared that a lot of these opportunities might not even come back, but it taught me patience and it taught me to just dedicate myself to what the fuck it is I love and really be you got to be passionate about what you do, because if you're living life without passion and being passionate about whatever it is you may like, you're living a fucking pointless life.
Yeah,
you're never
going to
be happy.
You're just existing.
We've
said a lot on this show. This is one of Chris's favorite things to remind people. Like, if you have a plan B, like, that's why I say, if you're getting into the arts, if you're trying to get into music, whatever, if you have a plan B, go do plan B.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make it through this area. And it's almost like God blessed you by removing all your other plan Bs.
Yeah, you had no plan B.
Well, you got to do this.
That's the thing. It's like, I hate when people say, like, oh, I have a plan A and here's my plan B. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck plan B. You're failing plan A because there is a plan B.
Exactly.
You only make one motherfucking plan and execute correctly.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. You know, it's like, people go into, like, a lost thought of, like, how to be successful or how to do things correctly. Like, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking do it.
I always tell people that work hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how many times have people asked you, like, hey, I want to do what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I didn't just decide.
Like, took a few years.
Yeah. I had to take a bunch of bumps and failures and, you know, that always happens.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could be like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you fucking don't. You want, like, a certain thing
structure.
You don't know, like, I'd eat cup of noodles or fucking, you know what I mean, like, really, like, fucking sleep on the side of the car because I had to drive 300 miles to a fucking shoot and drive 300 miles back, like, doing anything
want the fame
I absolutely
part.
Could
people want the fame part, they're not really interested in the work part of it,
dude. And it doesn't go away when you find success. You were just telling us, for people who don't know, he's a good hour and a half 2 hours outside of LA. And he's doing that drive almost every day.
Every fucking day.
Just
sitting
to
in
be
traffic.
Consistent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you do what you gotta do. A lot of people don't know that, like, I still gotta go through a lot of, I'm doing a lot. I'm not doing bad, but I'm also not where I wanna be. And that's the thing. Like, you never stop. Never let up. Never fucking slow down. Always keep it moving. Like, just dedicate yourself. That's it.
Are you, right now, if you had a choice, right? And what's your favorite thing to shoot? Like, if you had to just go, like, you know what, Nerv, we're going to give you all the money you want. You're going to have success and safety, but you got to choose something you want to shoot.
Forever?
Yeah. Like, is there one?
Forever?
I know that's hard. And we can make it broad. You could go like portraits or I'd rather get embedded or, you know, whatever.
It would either come down to like just portraits or just, you know, music videos. Now I feel like I'm
involved. Yeah, you're moving into directing, right?
Yeah, so I feel like photos kind of got not necessarily stagnant for me. Like I'm making money off photos, but it's so oversaturated to where it's like, you guys want to make money, future reference, start getting into video. But, yeah.
That's funny.
When everybody I first got an iPhone.
When I first got into the music video game, like that's when like everybody was doing it for free and the videos weren't really good yet. But now it's like, that's funny. Now it's come back.
So many amazing people, man.
Now it's come back.
It never ceases to amaze me when I turn on YouTube and I'm like, holy fuck. Mm-hmm. And then you research it and they're like, what? It's just like some kid that lives out in the Midwest. And he's killing it.
Yeah.
But talent, dude.
Dude, you moved into video making recently, right? What are some of the videos you've done and people can check out right now?
Shit. A lot of stuff with Soul Define.
Nowadays, MCs pitiful, embarrassing. R&B artists singing in booths, y'all no comparison. Real hip hop, no substitution, no generic shit. Imperative, we show with dominance, ain't no arrogance. Just knowing that we narrowed it down, y'all prepared for the sound. Hit the deck like I was airing it down, but it's just another case of getting wild on the track. Put it down when I rap, you fuckers lounge with a sack. I'm coming round with the crack on beat. These people fiend, shit is clean. How I'm getting this money, no in betweens, know what I mean? I'm after the cream, rapping my dream. I make the earth shift, this axe is another half a degree. My shit slaps, you ain't have to agree. Never a puppet, make my moves while your master's pulling back on the strings. Fucking actors couldn't match up with me. If you had 10 years to practice, get slayed with shit I made in half of a week. I'm talking knowledge, son. I ain't in the trap with a beam. Could catch me rolling up a dutch and on my lap is a queen. A straight disaster when I crafted with ease, like I was born for this. Take a dab and shot and then get back to my ink. I let it spill and shape it after I think. We put that wax to sleep. We hold it down like it's a habit to sink. When great minds come together like this, a sharp collision, murking instantly. We spaz on beats like nervous twitches. Is it a question if we even keep it real? No doubt. We gon' continue spitting shit that people feel. No doubt. Still be making all these tracks that people quote. No doubt. We gonna show these students how to really flow. No doubt. Is it a question if we even keep it real? No doubt. We gon' continue spitting shit that people feel. No doubt. Still be making all these tracks that people quote. No doubt. We gonna show these students how to really flow. No doubt. What pieces to put together, jamming MCs, they feathers. We a little heavier with the stamina of forever. We endless, the consciousness floats away. Your memory stays, the reality caves. Holes roll change through masquerades, amazing. You see the patterns, it doesn't matter. I give a fuck if the ass is fatter. I'm looking for brains, a skinny little smart broad who could understand the game. Dumb chicks from back then still throwing salt on my name. It's all fame, bitches sucking thick and think they worthy to be wifey. Bitch keep slurping, then I'm piping. Please don't ever grow to like me. I'm fighting negative thoughts on a daily, intrusive and crazy. So fuck what you think of me, baby. Find my definite purpose, I'm over rarity service. I'm living life like it's worth it, but still I'm waking up nervous. I got this brain, it won't stop racing. So the hell with the patience, facing dilemmas and cases, pacing with ancients, foreshadow their illness, easy rebellious defeat and whatever.
We have another one coming out on January 20th. They got a show with the Artifacts actually at Los Lobos.
Awesome. I want to get them on the show, man. When you talk to them,
yeah,
tell
no
them
doubt,
I
want to
get them on the show.
For sure, 100%. Yeah. Those are my boys. I've known them actually since I was age 12.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of music videos with them. There's a track with Self Provoke. It's called Gwen. Check that out. It's on their YouTube at Soul Define. A lot of other stuff on my page too. You can go check it out at Nerd Visuals. But
did anything change? Like, what was the biggest learning curve from photo to video?
Shit, it's not a still photo, you know. You got to keep it moving. It's more color tones too. You can't go from like light to a dark scene and make it look natural. Like, there's a lot of other variables that people don't really know, and I'm very fresh with this shit. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm still learning myself. But yeah, YouTube, you know, I just YouTube tutorials. I don't need school.
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks they need school, you don't. 2017 shit.
I definitely believe that.
2017 shit.
School is over. Yeah. Like, this is so funny to me. Like, at jobs that still test you on how you know, like, whether you can use Microsoft Excel and shit like that. Like, no, all you need to test people on is, do you know how to Google shit?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
That's the thought process. The entirety of human knowledge is at your fingertips, like right here in your hand.
Yeah. I was just listening to a lecture by, oh, man, who was it? Was it Graham Hancock?
I was about to say Graham Hancock.
Yeah, I think he was talking about how the...
I was going to make a joke, by the way. My first thought was Graham Hancock.
No, I think it really was him. And he was saying that, in his opinion, one of the biggest things killing education right now is higher learning institutions. Because it's so boxed in. You know what I mean? And because professors want to keep their jobs, they're not necessarily encouraging, learn this on your own. Like, so people coming out of colleges right now don't come out with that skill.
Right.
You know, they can research something if you tell them exactly what to research. But the skill of researching on your own and maintaining, you know, that learning level is that's a tough thing.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean towards full-on telling people don't go to college.
Yeah.
I'm on that same shit, honestly. It's more like, people are like, yo, do you go back to school? Like, no.
For what?
Like, what am I going to learn? I've actually went to a college camp. Like, I went to an art school, did the test.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, dude, like, if you came, you wouldn't learn anything until the last semester.
Yeah.
So it's really, like, it's up to you whether you want to do this. But the way I see it is, like, yo, I'm going to go pull out a loan for $40,000 and go get myself a fucking red cam rather than be in school debt for, like, fucking $120,000 forever.
Yeah.
Like,
Robert Rodriguez made El Mariachi specifically so that he could learn filmmaking.
I remember you telling me that. That's an amazing story.
He didn't actually, like, that wasn't his idea. It wasn't to make a movie. Really, he was like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Like, I'm gonna learn, but might as well, like, shoot this movie while I'm doing it.
Yeah, because why not shoot for the top?
Yeah. And then it ends up getting picked up and sold and distributed. Like, that none of that was part of the plan.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is the same thing that we're doing, like, with this podcast. We started it out. We didn't know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
Still figuring it out.
Yeah.
You had the radio background, but podcasting was a whole new.
At the time we started, it was like, I don't think anybody even knew what a fucking podcast was.
Yeah. I still have to describe what a podcast is. People are still confused.
But to me, it's just like, look, dude, one of the best things I love about podcasting, I know I can speak for you because we agree on this 100%, is when else would you be able to have this conversation?
Yeah.
And then share it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's some kid at home who I'm sure you've already answered questions for, where they're like, oh, fuck, are just connecting, like, am I the only one who thinks this? No, fucking Nerf thinks that too, and he's working. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, I might be on the right path. That alone is worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that download is very valuable.
Yeah.
You know? Dude, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was more from the craft standpoint. When you first, like, the portrait side, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start going, that's something, like, I'm super new, like, learning. I'm super interested in it. I just love facial features. You know what I mean? I feel like they tell so much story. But setting up, like, some of the best portraits I've seen, you know, especially from you, what is your – let's start with this. Your first portrait shoot, did you just show up with just your camera and, like, let's roll?
Yeah, dude. I rarely shoot flash. Never really shoot with any kind of soft boxes or external lights. Usually all natural. That's just what I prefer.
Me too.
But yeah, I never really.
So that's still true now.
Yeah, still true now.
That's,
like,
amazing.
By the way, there are I've read blog posts by, like, photographers that it's like, you know, the old school arguments, like people that are vinyl DJs are like, you're not a real DJ if you're on Strato.
Right.
So, like, I've heard, like, photographers do the same thing where you're like, you're not really doing photography if you don't know how to use flash. I'm like, I learned it. I just don't fucking. It's not fun.
I use it. I have to use it at events or, like, club shoots like that. Like, I have to. There's no way around it. But I just prefer to shoot natural, always fully manual. Never autofocus. And that's just for me, like, it's the same shit. You know, it goes back to that whole DJ thing where it's like, oh, you're really not a real fucking photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a personal preference. I know if I don't get the shot the way I like it, I fucked up and I missed the opportunity because that's what every photo is. It's still second.
Yeah.
So if you don't get it on your own, then you fucked up the next time. That's the way I think of it, as like a game. Like, if I got the right photo that I wanted, I won.
If I
didn't, then I fucking suck, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I've always seen it like that. I feel like that's just the raw mentality that, like, you know, it's like.
Have you ever worked with film?
A little bit, too much. I actually want to start shooting more film now, just because it's super expensive. But yeah, I definitely want to do it.
Yeah, that's one of those interesting worlds too.
Yeah,
because it almost seems like it's a different game totally altogether.
Yeah, that's exactly why I want to shoot film. Like,
I want to fuck with vinyl a little bit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Have you picked up, Like, have you had any epiphanies from now doing video that have that you've already incorporated into your photography that you didn't think about before you started doing video?
Not so much. I feel like a lot of the settings or locations I use for my video still comes from the same photo-inspired, you know, photographer.
Yeah.
Because I could be driving down the street and just, oh, shit, that's dope. Drop a pin, you know.
See, yeah, I just learned something.
2017.
Why the fuck am I not doing
pins,
that?
Bro. Yeah, save locations on me. Yeah.
I've been meaning to do that.
That's fucking...
yeah, it's ingenious.
Yes.
I'm just lazy about it.
No, what I'll be doing all the time. Yeah, fucking A.
It's, I mean, they both kind of coincide with each other. It's just, once you learn, like, that's the thing. I learned photos, and I feel like I learned so much, and I don't know everything, but I've almost peaked out to where I need more of a challenge.
Yeah.
So videography for me and directing and shooting videos and, you know, really filming and stuff is just giving me another opportunity to, like, grow somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I'll always shoot photos for a living, but I don't know if I necessarily want to do this for the rest of my life.
Right.
I'm always looking for a bigger opportunity. You know, like, I don't know where that may be.
Yeah.
But... this is just a stepping stone. I feel like I have a lot more to offer the world as far as, like, my art goes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm really trying to just push forward for bigger shit. 2017 is going to be good.
Are there any – do you have siblings?
Two sisters, yeah.
Two sisters. Is mom and dad both around?
Yeah, mom and step-pops, but that's my pops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't really know my sperm donor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so out of those four people, was there anybody else that was, like, in the creative world?
Shit. Not really, dude. It's like, I feel we're all kind of gifted in a certain way. Everybody's got a gift of vision, voice, and sound, in my opinion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know? Those are the three key senses, and I feel like if you can almost tap into all three and utilize them, you could be a great photographer.
Yeah.
And now you're a great businessman because you're vocal.
Yeah.
You could speak, you know, properly. Yeah. And... what did I say? Sound.
Yeah.
So you're able to listen to another person and really relate or use that in a different sense. Like, everybody is artistic in a way in those three senses. And I think people just really don't explore them to where they know that that's even a thing.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the way I see it. And I feel like all my family members had, like, a solid piece in one of them. And it kind of just helped me learn from them.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So it was there, kind of.
It was there. Yeah, I feel like my dad, he could draw. My mom's, like, just really good at fucking talking. She has, like, gift of gab, you know, and my sisters are just, they're just there, you know, they're just supporting me and shit.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this, because this is something that I always, what makes you nervous at a shoot? When do you feel, like, the most nerves?
Nerve.
Yeah. Honestly, never, dude. I feel like I'm at my happy place when my camera's my hand. Like,
that's your most comfortable time.
I know people get nervous and shit, and I tell them, like, yo, keep the nerves, like, down to a minimal when you're at a wedding or whatever. But, like, I really don't get nervous. And I know a lot of people might not even believe me, but I really feel like I'm just happiest with my camera and fucking I'm just in the moment.
So what about dealing with nerves with a subject? How many times does that happen? Yeah, how does nerve deal with nerves? Well, if a model shows up and you can just tell, like...
nerve versus nerves.
How do you usually get them out of that?
Dude, honestly, like, I'm just blessed to have worked with all the awesome people I've worked with. I've never really had, like, a bad experience or, you know, I may have had a drunk model.
Yeah.
She took an extra shot to, you know, calm her nerves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, honestly, like, I've worked with amazing people. Shout out to all you guys if I've ever worked with you. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Do you post people or do you allow them to kind of figure themselves out?
Every shoot's different. I feel like with a model, it's always a different vibe. So, like I said, I have, like, that gift of vision, sound, and you know, gab or whatever. And it's like, as long as you utilize all those together and can make a model feel comfortable, and, you know, there's a right way to do it too. If I'm shooting a model and she looks a little bit nervous, I'm going to let her know, like, hey, this pose looks good. Like, you look great.
Yeah, you
know,
you kind of lead her.
Show her the photo and sing, you know. And you vibe off each other. It's all about feeling comfortable.
Because
just as uncomfortable as she is, like, the way she is, that's making me uncomfortable. Yeah. So we got to work together to find a happy medium to, like, get this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. for the goal, the end goal.
Yeah, let's create, let's make beautiful art.
is everybody in your family goal oriented? Do you feel like that's something you got from your family? Because it seems like even going through your bullshit, you were still trying. I mean, you were still trying to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could have gone to jail and been like, you know what, this is going to be my life. Fuck it. I can survive doing this. But you kept doggy paddling and still trying to stay above water.
Yeah.
But that was that drive in you.
I think it's just I had to battle a lot of demons on the inside. Like I didn't know my real dad or whatever, yeah. And I felt like I was always almost competing with his ass. Like, how much more fucked up can I be than this?
Oh, girl? I got you. I got you.
And it was really just a lot of self destruct. And I feel like once I let go of that and just really found peace with myself and was like, yo, dude, snap out of it. Like, you have the ability to do great things and inspire people. I just kind of fell with that. It just, it made me happier, dude. Like, I didn't have to fight myself anymore. I'm totally happy with who I've become and where I'm going and where I'm headed, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What about the, do you have a spiritual side of you? Do you feel like you have one?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would consider myself Catholic.
You yeah.
know? There's a cross hanging above his bed.
Yeah, but I'm not yeah. really Rosary. The most religious, I would say. Like, I believe what I want to believe from the church. I don't necessarily agree with a lot, you know. Like, if you're gay, you're cool with me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
shit like that. Like, that's, it's fucking 2017. Gay marriage is totally cool in my book. Yeah, I sin, but just because I sin on the fucking daily doesn't mean I'm going to hell.
Yeah,
I believe
yeah.
in, you know, I believe if you're a good person and you put good things out to this world and you genuinely mean well, then whatever happens later,
yeah, just,
you, at least you have a good conscience, your clean conscience. You
yeah.
know, you know, you did your best.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the way I see it.
Just does that, does that ever, does it play into your art at all? Spirituality?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with myself, dude, I'm in like a constant battle of like good and evil. It's mm-hmm. kind of weird, mm-hmm. but
the devil and the angels on your shoulders.
Yeah, and it, I feel like if people do look at my art and my photos, they kind of do see that.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
kinda
yeah.
makes
yeah.
a little bit of sense, and I just realized that that shit right now.
It's like myself. Therapy.
Yeah, it's like it is my it's photo therapy, dude. Yeah. Like, it's fucking, it's so therapeutic. I sometimes just wake up at 5:30 to go catch sunset and
yeah,
just take in the moment. You know, start my day great. Like,
yeah, you know, people underestimate. Because that's something that, you know, you've talked about it, meditation, you do, there's so many different forms of relaxing your mind and clearing your mind. Mm-hmm. And the more I encourage people to do this so much. I just told one of my really good friends, they were talking about a lot of problems they had. Mm-hmm. And my only answer was like, dude, take 5 minutes a day to try to think about nothing. It's not going to work the first time. It's going to be tough. You're going to be like, what does that fucking mean? Blah, blah, blah. And one day, if you keep doing it, it clicks. Or find something that helps you do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I understand the thing about the photography because it forces you to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love about it the most. Yeah. All your world is within that little viewfinder, mm-hmm. and that's it. And I think everybody needs that in their life because I cannot tell you how much that saves you. You know what I mean? Like when, like you said, if you can go catch a sunset or a sunrise and you're basically replacing the negative emotions you could have had at that time with this one thing, I set reset and at least I start over again. And now I have another shot at
That's it. It's a constant reminder because, dude, I'm fucking human. People think like just because we hang out with certain people that we yeah. hang out with or do,
sure.
are doing well.
Right, right, right.
As well. We're not always well. Like, we...
Dude, the people you're hanging out with are not always
they're
well.
They're not always fucking well either. Like, a lot yeah. of these... You could have all the money in the world and yeah. still be a fucking... just the saddest fucking person. And obviously, the goal is to get money. I love money or whatever, but I'm chasing happiness first. And shooting photos will always be a constant reminder that, you know, this, I'm doing what I love. And that's all that fucking matters.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you notice visually the most? Like, is it light that captures your attention? Or is it shapes?
Just anything, dude. It could be as simple as like, fuck, yo, this homeless person in downtown was like, yo, what up? So I snapped a flick, and that yeah. to me was beautiful because they said, what's up?
You know? Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Or it could be fucking just straight lines or a staircase mm. or it, anything's art. Like I could take a photo of this, just the corner of this fucking computer, and still probably make it look
yeah
cool.
yeah
like it's all vision and the way you perceive things, and that's what's cool to me, is I could show the world the way I see my world.
Yeah,
it's dark to me, dude. It ain't always sunshine and fucking rainbows. It's sad.
You know, most artists go through this experience where, like, at first they're kind of trying to figure out what their audience wants to see.
Uh-huh.
Like, what sort of picture can I take that people are going to enjoy? You immediately, like, it looks like you never even went through that phase.
No, I feel like if good art's always going to, it's going to grab attention on its own. So if you produce great shit's about it, and I don't even know if I produce great shit, but...
You produce some great shit.
People, for whatever reason, feel like they could relate to me and the things I say and the things I've done or do, and that to me is, like, awesome.
You know? It's cool experience for me, because finding you on Instagram, right? I found you on Instagram, and I'm sure, dude, it's how I found everybody. I was just through the search section. Mm-hmm. Instagram feeds you pictures you might like. Usually they're wrong. You know what I mean? And I'm going through it and I'm like, oh, I like this. And then I know for a fact, and this is maybe something for you, because you probably wouldn't know this from other people, but me, who I take a lot of time, I mean, it's part of our job to ingest art and try to break it down and try to find out where it's at. To me, your pictures have, in the easiest way for me to describe it, it's a cliche, but it's just soul. Like, I can feel a soul, as opposed to, you know, sometimes you look at pictures and you know they're doing exactly what you said, Arash. Yeah. In fact, I heard a really cool interview with, what's his name? Van Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that. He talked about, you know, he started off early and he was like, oh, okay, this picture gets this kind of likes and this picture. And he's like, after a while, that just becomes empty. Like,
it's robotic.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're just feeding all these people what they want.
You're giving them cheeseburgers all day.
Yeah.
Here, you want a cheeseburger? You get a cheeseburger.
And a lot of times, though, people don't really like it either.
Yeah.
You get less attention for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have less attention and real fans than fucking fake fans and, you know.
Yeah.
I genuinely want people to fuck with me for who I am and what I'm about, rather than, you know, whatever other variables people might see. Like, I feel like I have a lot of fans just based off of brands or people I've worked off of, and I don't know if, I mean, I appreciate them as fans, but that's the thing. It's like, are they really core fans of Nerve, or are they just...
Yeah, you know, I like it because somebody says they like it.
Somebody fucking said they like it.
Yeah. I mean, you've luckily, too, have worked with some really... I mean, we know a lot of the people you worked with, and they're all really good people, you know. And it's weird because you tend to actually, that's not weird, I guess, because we have talked about it on the show. I have like a firm belief that everybody's kind of like a lighthouse.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Your energy's coming out of you. Mm-hmm. That energy attracts other people. Yeah. Most of the time, if you're lucky, it'll attract mostly people that you vibe with, because those things go together. And so it never really surprises me anymore when we find people to interview and we go like, oh, okay, that's why we were supposed to interview. It lines up. Because I can maybe count on one hand where we've had conversations after and gone like, shouldn't have had that interview, right? But that's literally 5 years, over 200 and something episodes. Yeah. And maybe one or two that happened with, which if I looked back, it was probably our fault because we didn't look into it most enough. And now it's rare that we ever sit with anybody. And like, hearing all your stuff, you know, I know the audience who've been following the show know that this lines up with a lot of the other artists that we've had on the shows, have very similar stories or very similar outlooks on life where they had to battle through themselves more than anything. You know what I mean? Like, you had to battle through yourself. But the thing they admitted was that it's myself.
Yeah.
It isn't, I'm not looking for someone to blame. You know what I mean? I'm not looking like, you had all this trouble early on. You weren't like, oh, my parents, they don't love me. They don't, you know.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. People just don't want to accept responsibility for their actions.
Yeah.
And that's the saddest truth about today, is like, nobody can accept their own fucking responsibilities for their actions.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you're able to do that, dude, a lot of things change. It's just, people are scared to change too.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. For people who are listening right now and going like, oh, you guys are, that's so easy. You know, you guys are already doing things, blah, 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 whatever. It's not. You know what I mean? It's, in fact, it only gets harder to maintain because in the worlds that we're all in these worlds where people do feed you bullshit. Mm-hmm. People do look at your Instagram and go, yeah, I like everything. And you know, like, that's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way you like everything. Yeah. I don't like everything. Yeah. How is it, you know what I mean? And if you're not careful, you can gas yourself up mm-hmm. very easily. That can happen overnight. Like, oh, someone you look up to might just go, man, you're really dope. I'm the dopest ever. I'm good right here. I don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
I've seen too many people mm-hmm. do that.
People become complacent, which is like a little bit of local fame.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it's doing is it's tearing that soul that I was talking about. When you see it in somebody's art, it tears that out of it.
Yeah. You're
photocopying shit. Yeah. You're like, oh, this worked. I'm just going to photocopy because it's safe.
You never want to be complacent mm-hmm. or settled in life, dude. Fuck that. You just always want more. Always get after more. Always work really hard and love your family, love your people, support your people. Shit.
Okay, so before we get out of here, I got some quick fun questions. Dream gear.
Shit.
If you could, unlimited.
Give me a... I'll have a red cam by the end of this year. Yeah. So big shit's gonna happen for sure.
Dope.
As of right now, just like, dude, I would love for an A7S Mark II.
Yeah.
That 4K is fucking super sick. Small camera.
Amazing camera. Is anybody beating that camera right now, you think?
As far as video, fuck, in my opinion, no. Maybe the right? Pentax GH5 that just came out. I don't really know too many specs on it. But, dude, fuck gear. Make the best of your gear. I shot with a crop sensor camera for the first year of my photography. That was for Borgor or Bygor events. I shot a lot of my main shit off that camera. You could do whatever you want with anything. Just learn it.
But your dream right now would be...
But my dream would be just the A7S Mark II or a red cam. Or a red cam. Like
There's only a little price difference.
Yeah. What's your number one piece of advice for camera optimization? Like, is there something that people... could do, like, right now with the way that they're utilizing their camera would make it better?
Stop making cameras so fucking good because it's making it to catch a good fucking photo.
How about tri-manual?
Tri-manual.
Just try it.
People should try manual. It's like, dude, that's the roots right there. That's just the roots. You should be able to at least shoot one photo in manual.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah. Okay. Dream shoot right now. I know it probably changes all the time, but if you could shoot one subject that, you know what, I feel like I could really shoot this person really well.
I don't even know, to be honest. I think I'd shoot, if I had the opportunity to shoot, like, fuck, who's big right now? I don't know. What is his day-to-day? Is his video
President day-to-day? Obama?
Lady Obama? Gaga?
Nah, fuck that. Yeah, probably, like, anybody killing it right now. I just want to...
Prince of Abu Dhabi?
Bigger artists.
Prince of Abu Dhabi. He's like, yes, that was the one.
That was him.
Right. Been looking forward to shooting that guy for a minute.
How about a couple of your favorite photographers that you follow online or people you want people to check out?
Check out Basic Iggy. This dude kills it. Encrypt's fucking super dope. I've really been like fucking with her work. Super heavy. Shout out to her and their whole team, what they got going. Dude, they're fucking killing shit. Who else? Yeah, Basic Iggy and Crib. I fuck with...
Give me one more.
Let's see. One more street photographer. I really like street photography, mm-hmm. so I think, I would say... Fuck, I can't even think of anybody right now.
Is there like a hashtag or something that you would recommend?
Favorite hashtag.
Favorite hashtag. Dilapidated Visuals. They do all the bando stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like with
you got a lot of those up here, by the way. Yeah. I saw a few on the way up here.
Yeah, shit ton. They're all probably like tweak shacks.
They all have Trump supporters in them.
Yep.
Man, they're not getting out to vote. They're just trying to tweak.
That's true.
Fuck Trump supporters, too. Fuck you guys.
Dude, thank you so much for being on the show, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Dude, I hope that if you have anything coming up or you need to be back on the show, just let us know. You're always welcome. I definitely invite you to submit some pictures for the gallery. It would be an honor to have you in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Guys, check out everything. Tell people how to get in contact with you business-wise and just to follow you.
Word. So it's Adner Visuals. NERVISUALS on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. YouTube as well. And then my Snapchat is Darren Joseph, DarrenJoseph. www.nervevisuals.com. Appreciate you guys.
There it is, man. Right, you guys follow everything Nerv is doing. Yeah, like I said, the soul behind the art alone is something that you guys should check out. And he's not a dick. If you guys are out there thinking he's a dick, he's not a dick. I swear.
I give hugs, motherfucker.
He gives hugs. He gave me a free cigarette.
No part of him made me think he was a dick.
No, no right, part.
Cool. You may now flush the toilet.
PlatformCollection.com.